Good evening. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church, I welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. If you're a guest here tonight, we hope that you will experience us as a welcoming church this evening and that your time in worship is meaningful. For families with younger children, if you need to get up and move around with your children, we have a corner in the parlor set up with toys and where the service will be on the television. A parlor is located towards the back of the sanctuary and to the right. Please know that you're welcome to use this area as you need throughout the evening. Additionally, to all our guests, the closest restrooms to the sanctuary are located at the bottom of the stairwells at the back of the sanctuary. If stairs are difficult for you, you may use the bathrooms that are located in our office corridor, which you can go through our parlor, turn right. If you head down the hallway, midway on your left will be restrooms. By all means, if you need any further assistance, please reach out to any of the ushers at the back of the sanctuary, and they will assist you. Lastly, to everyone who is here this evening, if you haven't already picked up an ornament on your way in, we invite you to pick one up on your way out as a gift from the church and as a remembrance of our time together in worship. Now, on behalf of all who are leading worship this evening, I do wish you a Merry Christmas. May we be a blessing to one another and to God in our worship tonight as we celebrate the birth of the newborn King.
Beloved, today we welcome the Christ child, the fulfillment of our joy. As we proclaim with the prophet Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
We light this candle as a sign of Christ coming to dwell with us, to live in the neighborhood of vulnerable humanity as a vulnerable child. May the light of Christ warm our hearts and light our way as we share the joy of God's salvation wherever we go.
Let us stand as you are able and join us in singing our opening carol, "O Come All Ye Faithful." You'll find it on page 234 of the hymnal, or on the screen in front of you. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 6.
Thank you. Will you join with me in prayer? God, what a gift it is to celebrate today. To celebrate the best gift we could ever receive. You're coming to be with us. On this, the eve of Christmas, help us to pause, to be still, and to know that you are God. Draw our hearts and minds again to wonder, to marvel at the beauty of the mystery of the incarnation. When you took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin and laid in a manger. Help us to follow his humility. Help us to fix our eyes on him, the light of the world, that we would no longer walk in darkness, but in his marvelous light. True light from true light. Thank you that he is God with us. That is good news. Jesus saves us from our sin and gives dignity to what it means to be human without ever having sinned himself. What mercy. Show us the ways that we can uphold the dignity of others and point them to the one who is hope, who is peace, who is joy, and who is love itself. Thank you that you give yourself to us, and thank you for the privilege that it is to pray to you, to be in relationship with you, and that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This offering this evening, you'll be sharing your gift between two mission outreaches supported by this church. Half of tonight's offering is going to Midland's Open Door. The Open Door here in Midland cares for some of the most vulnerable among us, men, women, and children who are experiencing homelessness. Last year, the Open Door provided nearly 11,000 nights of shelter to 284 individuals and over 48,000 meals through their soup kitchen. The other half of our Christmas offering tonight will go to ACT Uganda. ACT Uganda is a nonprofit that originated here in Midland, which aims to support self-sustaining community efforts in the communities of Muko Sub County, Uganda. ACT Uganda currently supports 6 programs within these communities, having just completed a partnership with a local high school. In 2017, ACT Uganda was asked to take over this high school. And over the past 7 years, ACT has bolstered the impact of the high school in the community. Act Uganda has helped grow student enrollment from 179 to nearly 700 students with significant improvements in the students' test scores. Today, the school also features several new facilities, including their science lab, new bunk rooms for students, and new housing for teachers. So thank you for participating tonight in the church's effort to share the gift of Christ with our neighbors, far and near. Would the ushers please come forward? Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son. We give you thanks for the blessings to come together for worship tonight and offer our praise and thanksgiving for your gift and for his dwelling among us. Lord, we also thank you for the blessing and privilege to give towards your bringing light into the world. So we ask for your blessings upon these gifts. May those who encounter them, both here in Midland and in Uganda, may they encounter your Son, his hope, his joy, his peace, and his very love. Amen.
You may be seated. Tonight we will read through the story of the birth of Christ from Luke chapter 2. And I will begin with verses 1 through 7. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. The word
to remain seated as we sing our carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
We continue our scripture reading with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger."
Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. Says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts on this holy night be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I still can't help myself. Despite the ever-increasing passage of time between the present and my childhood, I can't help but arrive on Christmas Eve without a bit of nostalgia, right? I trust that I'm not alone. For many of us, our celebration of Christmas in the present is attached to one degree or another to our celebration in the past. In part, it's what makes this the most wonderful time of the year, as Andy Williams sung about it and countless others after him. I suppose for each of us, what creates this Rockwellian sense of Christmas is going to differ for each one. A family member's recipe that has never since been replicated. A traditional gathering of friends from around this time of the year, or a particular indelible memory that still paints a portrait for you of what Christmas ought to be. For me, it's always been about the lights and the glow they cast out into the world at this time. Even now, there's nothing like them. As a kid growing up on the east side of Detroit and in the Grosse Pointe, a telltale sign of Christmas was always when St. John Hospital on Mack Avenue would hang a star at the top of their highest tower, and it was always made up of blue Christmas lights. And so somewhere, filed away in my memories, is me as an elementary age school kid riding in the back of the family's car with the windows frosting over. Back then, they did that, right? Nowadays, the technology is so great, they don't fog over. But back then, in my mind, the windows are frosting over, and I'm looking up. At that star, against the evening night sky. And if I could paint like Norman Rockwell, this would be my quintessential picture of Christmas. Perhaps right now, you have a portrait in mind of what Christmas looks like. Of course, the challenge that so many of us face, whether it's as we get older or as the realities of the hurting world seem even more relentless, or both, the challenge we face is that that paint can of golden pixie dust that a John Travolta-inspired Santa is painting the town? Well, that paint is hard to find. In addition to this, to the half dozen to-do lists we all still have on our list tonight, all right, there's some of us who have a baker's dozen, yes, on our list still to do. Either way, in addition to our to-do lists, there are still some aspects of our lives, even tonight, perhaps some aspects of our families or the world around us that we wish were different. And moreover, there's still the rancor that has seeped into too many nooks and crannies of our world. There are the global challenges that seem ever too big for anyone to fix. And there's these injustices that only have us longing for the peace on earth that we heard about as the multitude of the heavenly host proclaimed on that night in Bethlehem so long ago. And so with all this, it might seem that to truly celebrate Christmas, one must either suspend one's sense of reality on a night like tonight, or be limited by one's nostalgia for the past. But what if? What if the story of Jesus' birth, as recorded for us in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, was all about God stepping into a world that was less than ready? That was less than perfect. That was less than expectant. The fact is, when we read Luke's account of Jesus' birth, this is what we're told. This is what God is telling us. For the story unfolds in Bethlehem, a small village, 6 miles south, and very much in the shadows of Jerusalem. A village which is almost glossed over the first time that it is mentioned in the Bible, despite being the hometown of Israel's greatest king and where David was anointed as such. It's in this overlooked village set on a steep ridge surrounded by more fertile valleys that Jesus is born. And he's born to a carpenter from Nazareth, a village in its own right, of whom one of Jesus' first disciples, Nathanael, famously asked, "Can anything good come from that town? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And Jesus is born to a woman named Mary, to whom Jesus was betrothed, otherwise engaged, but not yet married. And far from being attended by others who were close by, Jesus was merely swaddled in bands of cloth and laid in a trough. Because no one suspected what God was already doing in their midst. And so when it came time to share the birth announcement of God's only begotten Son, to share this good news that God's people had waited for centuries, Where did God go? God went to those out in the fields. Those who others, including myself, would have said were the most unlikely and forgotten. And yet, God chose them to announce this good news. With the angel of the Lord saying to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I bring you good news that the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so maybe as wonderful as this time of the year is, perhaps Christmas isn't all about pretending that all is well, or that its deepest meaning is found in the past. Perhaps this night and this season is remembering that God still chooses to dwell among the unlikely and the unforgotten. That God still chooses to dwell among people like you and people like me. All people for whom God has proclaimed, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Perhaps this night and this season is remembering that God still chooses to dwell with those whose lives and those whose world is not perfect, but for whom God's love and grace and Messiah are still enough. Amen. Amen. In his account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, John writes in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What came into being in him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Recorded around the end of the first century, John assures us of the enduring nature of the life that God brings us. Tonight, we are reminded yet again of how Jesus continues to dwell among us as the light of the world. This evening, as we pass the light from the Christ candle, please keep the lit candle upright while letting your neighbor take the candle, the light from your candle. After Tyler and Gabrielle provide us with our special music for this time, O Holy Night, please remain seated as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. You may find that on page 239 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. With those who are assisting with our candle lighting, please come forward. Amen. the light of Christ continues to shine in the darkness, in our world, and in our lives. So even as we extinguish our candles, let us be reminded of this light. Yes, even among the unlikely, even among those who might feel unforgotten. So let us stand and sing together our closing carol, Joy to the World, which you'll find on page 246 of the hymnals or on in the screen behind you. So let's extinguish our candles, and then as we do, may the light and the joy of Christ shine in us now. So perhaps you are having a Rockwellian Christmas. Blessings came early, family are in town, and you are having a Christmas season to remember. I hope that you are enjoying it. And I hope that it will set the joy of Christ into your hearts. But perhaps you're standing in our sanctuary tonight and looking at your life, or the world, and thinking, this is an unlikely place for God to show up. Or I'm feeling forgotten. Know that you are unforgotten. Know that the birth of Christ reminds us that God still shows up in the unlikely places and does a wonderful thing. Amen? Amen. Amen.